Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamah Zayin Gimel. We're on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We're halfway down in the Amud. Arelus. The parak is called Ha'arel, and that is going to be the principal discussion over here in our Mesachta Ayin Yevamah. Now, obviously, Arel takes us a little bit off the path of discussing in the mitzvah of Yibum, but we've been derailed now for a couple of parakim. Seventh parak and the eighth parak is a bit of a detour here in our Mesachta. And in the seventh parak, we talked about the marriages between Amana Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalusa to a Kohen Hedjot, in terms of what does that affect? Their lavim, and what does that affect in terms of her, in terms of their children, their ability to eat truma, her ability to eat truma, the kid's ability to eat truma, his ability to eat truma. Anyway, so here in this parak, so we're talking about an Arel, and the parak started off with an Arel and his inability to eat truma. An Arel is not allowed to eat truma. So where's that in the Torah? It's not in the Torah. Meaning it's not found in the Torah, but it's an Isser Midoraisa. A biblical prohibition for an Arel to eat truma. And it's going to be based on one of two things. Either Rabbi Lazar says it's a Gzeirah Shavah, or according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a Drasha, Ishish LaRabbos HaArel. We're coming back to Rabbi Akiva a little bit later today. Anyway, so that has been the discussion here in our Perek. So we're discussing the limits of Arel, what an Arel can and cannot do. And Rashi, in the beginning of the parak, pointed out that he's an Arel, even if it was an Ones, even if he was an Arel for no other reason than he just simply couldn't get a Bris Milah. Rachmanis' brothers died as a result of having died. Let's just say they were hemophiliacs, whatever the case is. And so we learned earlier in the Masechta, Samech Dalid, that Chazakets, Machlokis, whether it's two or three, but when it comes to Sakanas Nefashos, we're going to assume two. So two brothers died, Machmas Mila. So therefore, when he's born, so he is Pater. He's literally exempt from the mitzvah of Mila. But still, the way Rashi presents it, he's still an Arel, meaning the Arel is just a reality. And so he's still an Arel, and therefore what? Therefore, if he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to eat Truma. Okay. So that's what we've been discussing here in this Perek. So we're going to be discussing other possible limits of an Arel. So we're in Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud. Amar Rebbe Elazar. Arel Shehiza Hazasuk Shera. Okay. So an Arel could do Hazal. So again, once we're going to be discussing a lot in the beginning of this morning, Paraduma. And right now we're at the point of Hazal, meaning somebody needs to be sprinkled on and someone needs to do the sprinkling. So we're talking about the one who is the sprinkler. So you have the solution of Mayim Chaim and Efer HaPara, and they're mixed together, and now we're just ready to do the Hazah. So you take the Azov, right, translated in English as Hyssop, okay, Chveznish, but whatever, they're stalks, and you dip them into the solution, and you're Mazah, and you sprinkle. You do so on day 3 and 7, and on the seventh day, after the sprinkling, you'll tov on the mikvah, it'll become Tahor from Tumas Mace. Okay, so we're learning together that despite the fact that an Arel is somewhat restricted, but here there are no restrictions. An Arel can do the Hazah. So midadav et tvil yom. So and the Gemara says it's no different than a tvil yom, meaning as we're going to establish in just a few minutes from now, a tvil yom could also do the Hazah. Now a tvil yom, again, I know we all know these definitions, but just for review purposes, a tvil yom. So somebody was tamei, toveled in the mikvah, so he's partially tahor, but he still has residual tuma, and currently he's going to need Harav Shemesh. After he receives Harav Shemesh, then he'll become fully tahor, right? So let's say, for example, he's a Kohen. After having toveled in the mikvah, he can't eat truma. Can't eat truma until he has Harav Shemesh. So what do we know regarding a tvil yom? A tvil yom could do Hazah. Okay, how do we know that? Stay tuned. Meaning coming up in just a few minutes from now. So the Gemara's argument is as follows. If it's full yom could do Hazah, and Arul could do Hazah as well. Sha'afa b'sha'asa b'truma kasha b'para. So and we know that a tvil yom is restricted, banned from eating truma. So if he can't eat truma, and he could do Hazah, so the same thing is true regarding an Arul as well. So the Gemara says, ma'al tvil yom shekein motu b'maiser. The Gemara says, wait one second. The comparison falls short. Because when it comes to a tvil yom is allowed to eat maiser. As far as an Arel is concerned, we're going to see in just a few minutes from now, an Arel cannot eat Meiser. So the Gemara says, Ana atu ana la'achila kamrinan, ana la'nagia kamrinan. So the Gemara says, you're right, the point is well taken, but we're not talking about eating over here. We're talking about contact. Ma tvil yom sha'asa b'negia d'shuma mutar b'para. a Tvul Yom cannot touch Truma, because again, the Tvul Yom has some residual Tumah after he tovel in the mikvah. He can't touch Truma, and meanwhile, he's allowed to go ahead and do the Hazah of the Parah. Arul Shemutah B'Negiyah, Eino Din Shemutah B'Parah. As far as an Arul is concerned, who's allowed to touch Truma, so for sure can go ahead and do the Hazara of the Parah. Okay, so so in this regard, as far as contact is concerned, the Kavachomer is a solid Kavachomer. Tanya Mihachi, the Gemara would corroborate this with a Braisa. Braisa reads, Arul Shehiza Azasuk Shera, Umaister Hayavich Shira Chachamim Azasa. So there was an occasion where the Arul did Hazar, and the matter was presented to the Chachamim. Chachamim said, good, it works. It was an effective Hazar. Okay, when is this Braisa talking about historically? Obviously, we're given such precious little information that I can only guess, and I'm not going to guess. But are we talking about during Bais Sheni? Meaning, was there Paraduma during Bais Sheni? The answer has to be yes, meaning people were Tamei Meis, and people had to go to the Beis Hamikdash. So the answer was yes. So when is this Braisa describing? So most probably sometime during Bais Sheni, but again, really very, very little. Mesve, okay, so where are we right now? So far this morning, we've established one point, and that is that an Arel is in fact allowed to do the Hazah. So the Gemara challenges with a Braisa. Braisa reads, Tumtum Shekidesh Kidusho Paso. Okay, you're going to see this word being Mekadesh, you're going to see a number of times. In the context of our Gemara over here, Kiddush is the mixing. It's the mixing of the Maim Chaim together with the Efer Apara. That mixing together is a process called being mikkadesh. Okay, so tumtum shekidesh kiddusho paso mibneishu safek arel va'arel. Let me read that again. Let me read it better. Tumtum shekidesh kiddusho paso mibneishu safek arel va'arel paso lekadesh. So if I have a tumtum who does this act of kiddush, so it's no good. Why? Because again, what's a tumtum? We don't know. The aver is covered. We don't know if there is even an aver, but it's covered. And if, in fact, there's an aver, and it's so that means that he's an arel. So this tumtum is a suffix arel. Now, an arel cannot be mekadesh. We don't know why yet, but that's those are the facts on the ground. And so if an arel can't be mekadesh, our suffix arel also cannot be mekadesh. V'anjagan d'shekidish kiddusha kosher. Now, if an anjagan does the act of being mekadesh, it's going to be kosher. Rashi points out over here, we're talking about an androgynous who exhibits both, male and female, and the male is, in fact, gemalt. So he's not an arel. Okay, so he could be mekadesh. Rabbi Huda Omer, af androgynous shekidish kiddusha psulim, and mishya safik isha v'isha psulim mekadesh. And Rabbi Huda says, no, the androgynous cannot, because the androgynous may, in fact, be a woman, and a woman cannot be mekadesh again, for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a few moments from now. Anyway, Ketanimia, Arel Vesafik Arel, Pasam Lekadesh. So, but what comes out clearly from this price over here, that an Arel, a Safik Arel, so cannot be Mekadesh, cannot mix together the Para, the Ephra Para, and the Maim Chaim. So now, that seemingly goes against everything we've been saying up until now. So we start off this morning saying that a Arel is in fact allowed to be Mazah. And now we've just learned together that an arel cannot be mekadesh. So I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef makes an attempt, and he says, "Well, maybe the brisa that we just cited, maybe that's Rabbi Akiva, right? Do you remember in the beginning of this parak, Rabbi Akiva says, how do I know that an arel is not allowed to eat truma? Because an arel is tame like ish ish larabos es ha'arel. Right? The ish ish is talking about a tame, and Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, the double language ish is telling me that." An arel is like a tame. So for Rabbi Akiva, equating an arel to a tame, oh, okay, fine. So once you have tuma status, which is Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint, an arel has tuma status, so the brisa says you can't be mekadesh, you can't be mazah, meaning you're a tame. So detanya Rabbi Akiva, amar ishish l'rabas arel. So amar Rava. So Rava says, I really don't think so. Meaning, let's read. Amarava Hava Yasina Kama de Rav Yosef. I was with Rav Yosef Kashuli. Like this approach, that it cheats Rabbi Akiva and Avro really is a tame. I don't like it. Loli Shami Tana Velisne Arava Tame Velem Rabbi Akiva he. So the Gemara says, you know, it never happened. Meaning, we've covered a lot of brises, and we've never seen an Avro and a tame get equated together with a response of, oh, that cheats Rabbi Akiva. meaning it's true. In the world of Truma, so it's true that the Ariel is not allowed to eat Truma. And it's also true, there are Rabbi Kiva darshins from the Pasuk of Ish Ish. That's all true. But that just means that Rabbi Kiva is using that Pasuk to arrive at that conclusion. It does not mean that Rabbi Kiva actually is of the position that an Ariel is in fact Tamei. No. So and how do I know that? He says, look, in other words, it's just, we've gone through enough brisos. I've never seen anyone do this, where the Ariel and the Tamei are equated one with another, and someone says Rabbi Kiva. So it simply doesn't feel right. But when I say it doesn't feel right, it's based on the fact that we've never seen anyone do that. V'lova haktani Ariel v'atamei p'turim min ha'ri'iya. Gemara says, okay, I'll cite you one example. Meaning there is an occasion where we have a brisa lumping together Ariel and Tamei, and that is the mitzvah of ri'iya. Okay, so in the Masechta Chagiga, which we did not so long ago, it was only one Masechta ago, happens to be, it feels like a lifetime ago, because right now we covered 72 blot of Yavamos, but the Masechta Chagiga, so we saw together that the mitzvah of Re'iya is for all men to go to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year. And if you're an Arel, if you're a Tameh, you're a Pater. Tameh for obvious reasons. Arel as well is going to be Pater. Okay, according to this Brisa. So anyway, this Brisa put them together. So Has Mishum Demai. So Gemara says, yeah, but that has nothing to do with Tumah. That has to do with Mios. It's just simply, for lack of better term, it's disgusting. It's just not appropriate for an Arul, a Tamei, to present themselves. Now, a Tamei is going to be banned and restricted from going to the Beis HaMikdash. So the word mice by a Tamei is a little bit difficult to understand. But by an Arul, just simply, you're not presentable. Kadosh Baruch Hu would not like to see you in the Beis HaMikdash by the Regalim if, in fact, you are Tamei. But it's not because the Arul is Tamei. It's just simply, it's not presentable. Okay. So we stand our ground. An Arul could do Hazah. The Brisa says that an Arul cannot be Mekadesh. Okay. We thought maybe the Brisa is going like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara did not like that approach. But anyway, Rabbi Lazar says that an Arul could be Mazem. And we continue. V'azel atamayu. Now, in the Brisa that we just saw together, we were discussing the androgynous. As far as the androgynous is concerned, can he be Mekadesh? It's a Machlokes Tanaim. What is that Machlokes Tanaim predicated on? So the Gemara goes on to describe. Detanya will enter the Brisa v'azel atamayu detanya akol k'shem lekadesh. So everyone can do the act of Kiddush. Chutz mecherishot v'katan. Notable exceptions are cherishot v'katan, i.e. those who do not have das. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan apostle b'isha of androgynous. Rabbi Yehuda says a katan can in fact do the procedure of Kiddush. But not an Isha, non-androgynous, and again, androgynous because Safik Isha. So my time with the Rabbanan, so now let's go through the Psukim. Now, this discussion that we're going to have right now, it's not a discussion, it's just drushes. The Gemara in Yuma did this at length, and we did this at length in Yuma, and we did it in detail in Yuma. Over here, we're going to be doing this together right now in really short order form, meaning there's a series of Psukim, all in Parshas Chukas, going through the procedure of the Paraduma, and there's a number of action points and a number of verbs that are used, and based on how the verb is used, so the Gemara darshins one point after another point after another point. Sometimes the next point includes, sometimes it excludes. Okay, I know I wasn't particularly clear about it. The Gemara in Yuma does this in much greater detail. Okay, when we did it back in Yuma, I'm sure we did this in much better detail. Here we're going to do. I'm going to be doing this really in short order. So my time at the Rabban Dichtiv Lachula Tamei May Afras Refa Sachatas. So after the mixing, so then Lakicha, then you take it. So who takes it? The pasuk says V'lachu for the Tamei, meaning that's the person who needs the Paraduma. So May Afras Refa Sachatas Hanach the Pasle Be'Asifa Psulim Bekiddush. So Hanach the Kshem Be'Asifa Kshem Bekiddush. So according to the Tanakhama, whoever cannot be Mekadesh, cannot be Osef. Whoever can be Mekadesh, can be Osef. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Chaim Kein Nemekra V'Lakach. And what Rabbi Yehuda's response to that is that if the Pasuk would have used the verb conjugated V'Lakach, then I'm totally with you. Meaning the Torah is describing the same person. My V'Lakhu, Tafil Hanach T'Psulim Hasim K'shirim Hacha. So by virtue of the fact that it says V'Lakhu, it means that for Asifa, for gathering it, so it means that we're more inclusive. So, in other words, as far as Kiddush is concerned, limited in terms of who could be Mekadosh, who could mix it together. putting the ashes together with the water. But once it's put together, now the Osef expanded. More people can do it. More people eligible. Ihachi Shanami. So the Gemara says, okay. So once we have an expansion, so according to Rav Yehuda, let's expand women as well. Vinasam v'lo v'nasna. So the Torah says v'nasan, not v'nasna. It's okay. V'rabban niksi v'lakach v'nasan havamina. And as far as the Chachamim are concerned, no. They believe that even though the Torah says v'lakchu, it's still going on the same person. What about Rav Yehuda's response? It should have said v'lakach. No. The Chachamim would say, had it said v'lakach, it would have led to confusion. So v'lakach v'nasan havamina shakol chaviyav chad. I would have thought that one has to take one and the other one... one has to take the other. Kasarachman of Lakhu. So therefore the Torah says the words Vilakhu vi Kasarachman of Lakhu Vinasnu. And had it said both in plural for the Lakicha and the Kiddush, so Havamin the Shakli Tre, Viavi Tre, I would have thought that I needed two for both. So Kasarachman of Lakhu Vinasan Dafil Shakli Tre Viavchad. So it means that numbers are not important, meaning it could be one for one, it could be two for the other. That's what the Torah is trying to generate over there. And finally, v'hizah ha-Torah la-tamei, as far as the hazah is concerned, so Torah mechlal shu tamei, limit al tvil yam shekasher b'paro, and this is where the Gemara now establishes, deduces the fact that if you are a tvil yom, so you could do the hazah. Why? Because the Torah says, v'hizah ha-tahor ala-tamei. The person who's tahor, who's going to be doing the hazah, so he'll be sprinkling on the person who's tameh. Why does the Torah have to say the word tahor? As Rashi over here explains, the Torah could have just simply said nothing. Meaning, if the person in fact has to be tahor, the Torah should have just simply remained silent on it, and the Torah should have just simply said, v'izah latameh. We would have known that the person needs to be tahor. Why? As Rashi points out over here, because this is talking about the paraduma. The paraduma is not a carbon, but it's like a carbon. It's carbon-like. Now, it's for sure not a carbon, because as we know, it shechted outside the base of Mikdash. Had it been a carbon, that's called shchut echutz. So it's not a carbon, but the Torah describes it as a chatas. It's a carbon-like. Now, we know by carbonus, one of the basic rules regarding carbonus is that you have to be tahor. So for the paraduma, you have to be tahor. Any involvement in the paraduma, you need to be tahor. That's if the Torah would have said nothing. Why does the Torah say, v'hizah ha-tahor al-tameh? Tahor over here means... is that it's a ribuy, it's extra. It tells me that even if he's not fully tahor, even if he's partially tahor, how is somebody partially tahor? He's in the tahor process, meaning he was tameh, he toveled in the mikvah, he's now called the tvil yom. He's in the process of becoming tahor. And for such an individual, he could do the hazah. Okay, that's the...
They don't actually require the guy to be tvil yom, no?
So now, what right? So what Ben made reference to is, I was about to... That's going to be my next point. So we're linked. So this point over here that we just did is really the opening of Masechta Yuma, right? Where we discussed it there in detail. Also, second parak of Sukkah, the Gemara there discusses it also at length, and that is that this became a big sticking point between the traditionalists, the Purushim, and the Tzdukim. Meaning, when the Tzdukim read the Pasuk, they totally rejected Torah Shabbat Peh. They read this Pasuk, V'hizah Torah LaTameh. So all the Tzdukim, and Bai Sheni, so they insisted that the one who was doing Hazah has to be fully Tahor. Right? Why? Because the Torah says so. And they didn't accept this Torah Shabbat Peh that we're doing right now. Right? Obviously, Torah Shabbat Peh is Torah. Meaning, it's how we understand Torah. The only lens that we could see Torah is through Torah Shabbat Peh. So, good. So we have our Masorah. They rejected it. So, they demanded the person be Tahor Lagamre. So, as a way of a rejection of the Tzduki way of seeing things, so what we did is that for the paraduma, for the preparation of the paraduma, so, we went out of our way to be Mitame the Kohen so that he now tovels in the mikvah and he becomes a Tvul Yom. Okay. So, reject the Tzduki view of the Torah. And to counterbalance that, so what we also did is that in preparation of the Paraduma, we went all the way to unbelievable extremes to make sure that the rest of the procedure is done in a state of Tahara. Okay. And you'll see in the beginning of Yuma, the second parak of Sukkah, other places in Shas as well, some of those most extreme ways in which we went overboard in Tahara. Because we're going to get to this really funny point where, the Kohen who was about to prepare, wait 1 second, we were metame him. He told for the mikvah. Ah, now he's a tful yom. And as we just learned together, a tful yom is kasher bepara. Okay. Bami name Rav Sheshes. That takes us to the first part of today's daf. Again, it boils down to one point that an aral is allowed to do hazah. And then the discussion of a brisa seemingly not agreeing with that point, trying to figure out who the author of that brisa is, and then a subsequent discussion of the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of whether or not women can be involved in the process of being mikadesh. Okay, and let's go on. Ba'mi name Rav Sheshes. Aramau b'maisa. Okay, so let's call this our second big point of today. An RL is in fact allowed to be Mazah. That was point number one. How about an RL and Meiser? Meiser over here, the Gemara is referring to Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is your second 10% that you take off of all that you grow annually. Not every year, only in the first, second, fourth, fifth year of the Shemitah cycle. So the second Meiser that you're taking off is Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is taken to Yerushalayim, eaten in Yerushalayim. If you do not want to take the actual food to Yerushalayim, your podeh, you redeem it onto money, you bring the money to Yerushalayim, you spend the money on b'chol asher taveh nafshecha, on anything you want to eat. Okay, good. And the kedusha goes from the Meiser Sheni to the money, and from the money to the food that you eat. That food that you purchased in Yerushalayim has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Okay, Meiser Sheni. Is an RL allowed to eat Meiser Sheni, yes or no? That is what we are litigating right now. So, Bami name Rav Sheshes Aramah b'Meiser ki hechidi alef Pesach mi Meiser. So, what did we learn? We learned from Pesach to Meiser. Le'inyan aninus. Now, as far as an onin is concerned, so an onin cannot offer carbon Pesach. It's a carbon. An onin cannot eat a Meiser Sheni. So, yalef nami Meiser mi Pesach le'inyan arelus. So, we'll do the same thing regarding Meiser from Pesach. Regarding an aro. I went the wrong direction. Sorry. I made a small mistake. Let me quickly correct. We learned Pesach from Meiser. Okay, good. It sits better. So, in other words, from Meiser, we know that an onin cannot eat Meiser. How do I know that? The Torah says so. Lo achalti be'oni. Right? The beginning of Parshas Kisavo. So, we know that an onin is not allowed to eat Meiser. And from there, we go to Karban Pesach. Meaning, if an onin is not allowed to eat Meiser, an onin is not allowed to eat Karban Pesach. And that is derived through a kavachomer, simple kavachomer. Meaning, Meiser Sheni on the death chart of Kedusha is low. If an onin can't eat Meiser Sheni, then an onin for sure can't eat Karban Pesach. Or for that matter, any carbon. Okay. Now what we want to know is, let's now go in the other direction. Meaning, we have a halacha by Pesach. So maybe it will therefore translate to Meiser Sheni. So, Yalef Nami Meiser Mi Pesach Linyan Arelos. Now, an Aral is not allowed to eat Karm Pesach. So if an Aral is not allowed to eat Karm Pesach, so you know what? Maybe an Aral can't eat Meiser. Meaning maybe we can go in both directions. Now, what's the obvious problem, which the Gemara now is about to point out? We have what's called Kal V'Chomer. We do not have Chomer L'Kal. Meaning the whole argument of Kal V'Chomer is, here's Halacha over here when the Halacha is lighter, gentler. And so therefore, if the halacha is like this over here, for sure it's going to be like that over there where it's more chamer. Okay? That's the logical progression. What we are entertaining for a moment is, well, how about going in the other direction? And the Gemara says, oh, dilma chamer mikal, yalef kaba chamer, lo yalef. Maybe we won't go in the other direction. The Gemara's language is a little bit strange. Dilma. Maybe we won't go in the other direction. Meaning, the whole principle of Kal V'Chomer is that because one is Kal, so therefore we can move it to another place where it's more Chomer. Meaning the Gemara's language is strange, and the Rishonim pick up on this, and it definitely demands more attention and more discussion.
There's no issue of
onshim. Meaning right now we're not even talking about onish. We're just talking about an issa right now. Right. In other words, and there is a discussion of whether we're mazir min adin or we're eino mazir min adin. But right now, Just even moving from one point to another point, so you can go minakal el chamor. But right now, the Gemara for a moment is entertaining. Well, maybe we'll go in the other direction. And again, the Gemara says, and maybe dilma chamor mikal yalef, kal mechamor lo yalef. That dilma is really strange. Okay. Anyway, so amalu tinisua. So what are we asking right now? whether or not an RL is allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara says, okay, so I don't, meaning from using methodology, specifically Kava Chomer, we don't know. So, and quite frankly, we can't, because we were attempting to learn from Pesach to Maaser Sheni. That's Menachomer Elakal. We can't go in that direction. So we're going to try to deduce. We're going to learn a Mishnah that we learned actually pretty recently, back in Chagiga. HaChuma VeBikurim. So, what are some of the common aspects of Chuma and Bikurim? So, a number of things in which they share a commonality, and we're going to go through a number of examples, a number of halachas, and not shared by Maaser Sheni. So, as far as Chuma and Bikurim are concerned, Chayav Memalehem Misa V'Chomesh. So, if a non-Kohen were to eat them, subject to Misa B'Dei Shemaim. Also, if you eat a B'Shogeg, you have to make restitution and you have to add on a chumash. Ve'asur and lezarim, they're prohibited to a non-Kohen. Ve'hei nichzei Kohen, and the property of the Kohen. Ve'olim be'echad be'me'ah. And if you want bittul to occur, you need a ratio of 100 to 1. Ve'tu'in rechitzas yadayim, and any Kohen is going to eat either truma or bikurim, needs to wash his hands. His hands are sheni l'tuma, needs to wash them. And ve'erev shemesh, ve'erev shemesh. And not only that, but if you were totally tamei, you need to tovel in the mikvah, and you need herev shemesh. Hare el b'truma v'kurim. Now these are the things that link together. These are the common halachas shared by truma and bikurim. Mashein came in meiser, but when it comes to meiser sheni, so none of these halachas apply to meiser sheni. Good. So that's an exhaustive list. It's an extensive list, but notably absent from the list is RL. Ah. Now we know an RL can't eat Truma. We're going to assume an RL can't eat Bikurim. Now if an RL is in fact allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, it should have made the list. Meaning that would have been a perfect example, a perfect illustration of something that is shared by Bikurim and Truma, but not shared by Maaser Sheni. That's exactly the Gemara's point. V'imisa nisne RL aser bahen mashen kim b'maaser. So, seemingly that is a wonderful argument. The Gemara points out the list is exhausting, but it's not exhaustive. There actually are other examples that were left out in this Mishnah. So, Tanav Shire. So, my Shire Dai Shire, Shire Dekat Tani Seifa. So, to make this argument that things were left out, so you have to make the argument. What was left out? Which halacha was left out? So, the Gemara acknowledges you're right. In the first half of that Mishnah, so nothing was left out. But go to the second half of the Mishnah. I'm going to show you a couple of things that were left out. Now, what's the second half of the Mishnah? So, Yesh B'Maiser Bikurim Mashen Kein V'Truma. So, here's what we're going to do. Learn halachas that are common between Maiser and Bikurim. Maiser is here again, Maiser Sheni. And Bikurim, which is not going to be true regarding Truma. So, number one, Sheh Maiser V'Bikurim Mituin in Havas Makom. When it comes to Maiser Sheni and when it comes to Bikurim, so you need to go to Yerushalayim. Truma can be eaten anywhere. Vitun and Vidui. Also, you need an accounting. After the end of the third year and after the end of the sixth year, so you have Vidui where you account. Biartis, Akodesh, Menabayas, etc., etc. So, and that accounting is going to be done for accounting reckoning. That's going to be done for Meiser. It'll be done for Bikurim. It's not going to be done for Truma. Meaning, obviously, you have to take off Truma accurately, and that's all true, but you don't have the kind of vidui that you have regarding Maaser and Bikurim. Va'asur la'onein, and onein is not allowed to eat. An onein is not allowed to eat Maaser, and onein is not allowed to eat Bikurim. Oddly enough, an onein is allowed to eat Truma. Now, it is a bit of an oddity, but quite frankly, we've seen this before in our perek. It's based on a drasha. Rashi over here cites it. Anyway, an onin is allowed to eat truma, an onin is not allowed to eat meiser, an onin is not allowed to eat bikurim. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon allows an onin to eat meiser. We'll come back to that point in just a moment. V'chayavim bebiur, and also there's a requirement to beer at the end of the third year, at the end of the sixth year. So any leftover bikurim, any leftover meiser has to be disposed of, and that's not true regarding truma. Truma, there's no statute of limitation. There's no time and where it needs to be destroyed or disposed of. And Rabbi Shimon Potem, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shimon exempts Bior as it relates to Bikurim. Okay, anyway, that list now gives us all the commonalities between Bikurim and Meiser, which don't apply to Truma. Now, the only point that we're about to make in the Gemara is the list is not exhaustive. How do I know that? So the Gemara gives a couple of examples of things that were not included in the list. The Ilu also Lavar Behem Betuma, Mehen Betuma. So what do we know regarding Truma? Let's say Truma oil becomes Tameh. So what can a Kohen do with Truma oil that's Tameh? So he can't eat it, but he can burn it. Burn it meaning and make use of the burning. So the most common example that's given is illumination. So let's say his Truma oil becomes Tameh. So what the Kohen can do with his Truma oil is burn it and use and benefit from the light that's produced from it. Okay. Now, what you can't do that maneuver neither with Meiser Sheni, meaning if the Meiser Sheni, let's say for example, is olives and you made olive oil out of it and now it became Tameh, you can't do it. You can't get benefit from it through burning it. And the same thing is true regarding Bikurim as well. Okay, so we have learned that there's a halacha that's shared by Bikurim and Meiser Sheni, not shared by Truma, didn't make it in the list. I'll give you another example, says the Gemara. V'ochlan betumas atzman loke. If, let's say, you were to eat Meiser Sheni or Bikurim, and it was tame, meaning the food itself was tame. You yourself were not tame, but the food itself was tame, right? And you ate it. How are you eating food that's tame and you not becoming tame? Tosos, right? Perfect. Okay. So that's exactly what Tosos says. Anyway, so when it comes to Meiser and when it comes to Bikurim, if you eat the food that's tame, you're subject to Malkus. Masha ain came by Truma. Now by Truma, it's not the case. Meaning, it is Aser for a tame to eat Truma, but there's no Malkus. So Lokitani. So that was not made. It didn't make it into the list. Why? Because the list is not exhaustive. So the Gemara says, so if the second half of that Mishnah is not exhaustive, the first half of the Mishnah also is not exhaustive. Alma Tana Vishayir. So what we asked the question, in other words, and so ends point number two for today. We asked the question, is an Earl allowed to eat Meiser Sheni? The answer is we don't know. And and we had a Mishnah. And the Mishnah had a perfect opportunity to tell us that a Arel is not allowed to eat Truma, not allowed to eat Bikurim, but is in fact allowed to eat Meiser Sheni, right? The Mishnah could have said that. The Mishnah didn't say that. But the Gemara's response to that is shoulder shrug. Yeah, you're right. The Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah didn't give us every example. Okay. We are in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So two big discussions that we had today in the Gemara. An Arel vis-a-vis his ability to do hazah, and the halacha is that he can do hazah. It can be mazah the efer apara. And number two is whether or not an arul is allowed to eat Meiser Sheni. We know an arul can't eat truma. Is an arul allowed to eat Meiser Sheni? Right now, at this point in time, inconclusive. Okay, we quoted the braisa, and so this is a classic maneuver of the Gemara, as long as we quoted the braisa. So we're going to just be tying up a couple of loose ends over here in the braisa. The asurin laone. So one of the things that we established back in the Bryce on the Amud Aleph is that as far as Meiser is concerned, as far as Bikurim is concerned, so it's Asur LaOnin. Onin is not allowed to eat Meiser, and Onin is not allowed to eat Bikurim. So Vasur LaOnin, Rabbi Shimon Matir. So Minalahu. So the Gemara says, okay, this Machlokis, what is it going to be based on? The following. The Pasuk says, Dichsiv Lo Sucha Lecho B'Sharecha, Meiser Degan Chavitirosh Chavitzarecha. The Pasuk goes on. Vechulei chumas yadecha. Okay. Anyway, Parshas Re'eh. So the Torah says that as far as a list of these items, so you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Amar chumas yadecha ela bikurim. So the chumas yadecha is a reference to bikurim. V'itkish bikurim lamaiser. And a hekesh, meaning in the same pasuk, trumas yadecha is a reference to bikurim, and bikurim is like meiser, not like meiser, sorry. It's in the same pasuk as meiser, otherwise known as a hekesh. So ma meiser asur la'onein, so a bikurim asur la'onein. Now, as it relates to meiser, we know that that meiser cannot be eaten by an onein. Again, pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, lo chalti be'oni. So if an onein can't eat meiser, an onein can't eat bikurim as well, by virtue of the fact that it's in the same pasuk together. Rabbi Shimon, Truma Karina Rechmana. Ma Truma Muter Sonin, Af Bikurim, Muter La'onin. Now, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, Rabbi Shimon will tell you, no. Meaning, How does the Torah describe Bikurim? It calls it Trumas Yadecha. I understand, says Rabbi Shimon, that it's in the same pasuk together with Maaser Sheni. That's true. But how is the Torah describing Bikurim? Using the word Truma. Now, an Onin is allowed to eat Truma. Oh, so if an Onin is allowed to eat Truma, so anything that's also called Truma, a Kohen's allowed to eat, Bikurim is described as being, is called Truma Siadecha. An Onin can eat Bikurim. V'chayavim bibior. Next point of litigation, you can be Mevar. You can, there's a requirement to dispose of. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Mar Mekish, Mar Lo Mekish. And again, over here, the question of whether or not you subscribe to the Hekesh, you don't subscribe to the Hekesh. V'asr levar behem mituma, v'ochle mituma satsman loke. Okay, now, a couple more halachas that we pointed out, and that is that if I were to eat Maaser Sheni, while it's tame, and Bikurim as well, while it's tame, meaning not while I'm tame, but while it's tame, so subject to Malkus. So how do we know that? Meaning we're the psukim that generate this halacha. Detanya, we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Amar Lo Biarti Mimena Batame. So we have a pasuk, Lo Biarti Mimena Batame. I did not literally burn it, meaning I didn't consume it while I was tame. Again, this is talking about Maaser. So Bein She'ani Tame V'hu Tame or Bein She'ani Tar V'hu Tame. Now it doesn't matter which side is tame, meaning either I could be tame and eat it or it could be tame and I eat it. Doesn't matter. In other words, the Torah says, Lo v'arti mimenu b'tame. V'hechim muzar, now good. So where's the azara? Meaning, where does it actually articulate a lav that one is not allowed to do that? I'm sorry. V'hechim muzar l'achila. So in yodeo. Okay, so I don't know where the azara is. Meaning, the Torah just simply says that as part of your confession, your vidui, so you said you didn't eat in a state of tumah, but where does the Torah actually say you're not allowed to eat in a state of tumah? Meaning, the Torah has to formalize a lav. So the Gemara says, Tumas a good bajik sivbe. So the Gemara just simply qualifies. Now, again, there are two versions of Tumah that we're describing. Your Tame eating the Maaser Sheni, or your Tahar eating Maaser Sheni, it's Tame. So you being Tame, that's what's called Tumas a guf. The Gemara says, Tumas a guf. For that, we have a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Nefesh asher tiga bo v'tama ad ha'aretz v'lo yachal min ha'kadashim, kim rachatz besar b'mayim. Otherwise known as last week's Parsha, Parsha's Namor. So the Torah says clearly that if a person becomes Tameh and he were to eat Min HaKadashim, so such an individual is violating a law. So Hachi Kami Baile, Tumas Atzmo Minayin. Okay, so Tumas Aguf we know, Tumas Atzmo, where the Maaser Sheni is Tameh. So how do I know? Where's the law for that? So Tumas Atzmo Minayin, Tamalama Lo Sucha Lecho B'Sharecha, Maaser Degancha. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat anywhere your Maaser Dagancha, meaning Maaser Sheni cannot be eaten anywhere. It has to be brought to Yerushalayim. Ula halano omer b'sharecha tochlenu atameh v'ator yachtav k'tfi v'chayal. This pasuk in Parshas Re'eh is describing psulei hamukdashim. I know there's a lot of area that we're covering today, and I'm doing it really quickly. Okay, I apologize for how quickly I'm doing it, but when it comes to psulei hamukdashim, so that means that you had a carbon. Carbon developed a blemish, a mum. You were poded that carbon, meaning once it has a mum, you're allowed to be poded. And now you can eat it like chulin, but not totally like chulin. It's what's called psulei hamukdashim. Psulei hamukdashim, even though it's no longer carbon, you did deconsecrate it, you were poded it, but still it has a little bit of residual kedusha. But you can eat in a state of tumah, meaning there is no restrictions regarding tumah. And that's exactly the point of this pasuk. B'sha'arecha tochlenu atameh v'ator yachdav. Tameh and Torah could be sitting down at the same table, eating it, k'tzvi v'chayal. You know, like animals that are totally mutter to eat. Okay? Now, the Gemara elsewhere talks about why the Torah compares it to tzvi v'ayal. Tzvi v'ayal are kosher animals. Okay. V'tan debe Rabbi Yishmael, afilu tameh v'tara ochlen al shulchanecha b'kara achad v'einan choshishin. So what you can have is you can have two people sitting down at the table together, somebody's tahor and someone's tameh, and they could be sharing psulei hamukdashim. The kamarachmana hahud amelach hasam b'sharecha tochlen hachalo seichol. And you see what's happening over there with the psulei hamukdashim. So over there it would be allowed, but elsewhere it will not be allowed. Where's the elsewhere? Maaser Sheni, meaning Maaser Sheni. When I have people sitting down to eat Maaser Sheni, so the tame Maaser Sheni cannot be consumed by somebody who's Tahor. Okay. Meaning, okay, if I could just explain this even a little bit better, meaning in the case of Psulei Mukdashim, so the Tamei Tahor are going to be sitting down enjoying the meal together. Okay. Everything the Tamei touches is going to become Tamei. Right? Good. By Psulei HaMukdashim, that's fine. And the Tahor person now is going to be, you know, they're sharing a plate, and the Tahor person is going to be taking food that was just touched by the Tamei, and he's eating it. So by Psulei HaMukdashim, that's perfectly fine. That's a kosher scenario. Masha Einkein, if I took that same scenario and transferred that over to Maaser Sheni, by deduction, the Torah is telling us that you can't do. Now again, by Maaser Sheni, if I'm Tamei, I can't eat Maaser Sheni. That's a pasuk in the Torah. That there's nothing to discuss. But again, we're sharing a plate, and now the Tamei person touches Maaser Sheni. In that regard, unlike Psulei HaMukdashim, now the Torah person can't eat it. Okay, so admittedly, by the way, it took a couple of hoops to jump through, but here is where the Torah articulates, right? It's not as clear as, you know, whatever. The Torah articulates that by Maaser Sheni, it's Tumas Atzman. If the Maaser Sheni itself is Tameh, the Torah person is not allowed to eat it. Okay. Masha Ein Kein B'Truma. Unlike Truma, an Onain is allowed to eat Truma. So Menalan, I'm Rabbi Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochai, I'm a Krah, lo biarti mimenu betame, mimenu yatam avir. I'm sorry, we're not talking about an Onain. Sorry. I immediately take that back. We are talking about Biur. So, Mashain came true, Menalan, I'm Rabbi Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochai, I'm a Krah, lo biarta mimenu betame. So, mimenu yatam avir, aval tam avir, shamashachuma, shinitma. So, the Torah says that, I didn't do be or to it. Again, we're talking about Vidu and Meister. The subject over here is Meister Sheni. I didn't do be or to it, meaning that if the Meister Sheni becomes Tamei, I cannot burn it and benefit from the burning. But the Torah says the words Mimenu, I didn't burn it, meaning there's something else that you're allowed to burn. What is that? Truma. Okay. Veima Mimenu Atamavir Valtamavir Shamashal Kodesh Shinitma. So the Gemara says, well, look. Maybe I could be Mevayer Kodesh. Meaning, let's say, for example, as Rashi points out over here, right? Shemen of Nesachim, or Shemen of a Mincha, right? Which has Kedusha Saguf. So let's say, for example, it becomes Tameh. Okay, it's unfortunate. But you know, maybe I can burn it and benefit from the burning, illumination. So Lav Kavachomer, who am I, Meister? I call Amra Torah Lobiarta, Mimene Betameh, Kosh Chomer Lo Kosh Kain. Well, the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If I can't burn Maaser Sheni and benefit from burning Maaser Sheni, I for sure can't do that by Kodesh. To which the Gemara's response is, Ihachi Trumanami, Kavachomer Hu. So the Gemara says, okay, did you just hear the Kavachomer? Same Kavachomer regarding Truma as well. If I'm not allowed to burn Maaser Sheni to benefit from the burning, I can't burn, Truma. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Haksi Mimenu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we also have the word Mimenu. Mimenu clearly is a miut, meaning there is an exclusion. Something's Tamei Emma, and I'm allowed to burn it. So what is the exclusion making reference to? It's making reference to Truma. So the Gemara says, Uma Reis, good. How did you know? Meaning, we have a Mimenu. It is an exclusion. I'm allowed to burn something. How did you know that something I was allowed to burn was Truma? Maybe it's Kodesh. So Mistaba Kodesh Lo Mimatina Shekein, Pan Ka Chas. So the Gemara says, look, when all said and done, I have two choices. I'm allowed to burn something. It's either, and benefit from it. It's either going to be Kodesh or it's going to be Truma. It's just Mistaber. Meaning, what we're going to do is that we're going to look at the scorecard. Well, first, let's go through the scoring. As far as carbon is concerned, so many things that are unique to a carbon. Pigle, Nosar, carbon, right? I'm not going to go through each halacha right now, but, when it comes to carbonos, it's subject to the disqualifications of Pigle Nosar. Also carbon. Rashi says over here, carbon just simply means it has a designation of a carbon. Okay. That seems to be a bit of a circular argument. How do I know the carbon's so special? Because the Torah calls it a carbon. Okay. So, right. Mi'ila. We know that when it comes to a carbon, misappropriation is subject to all the ramifications of mi'ila. You have to make restitution. You have to add a chomish. You have to bring a carbon mi'ila. Kares. Somebody who eats carbon in a state of tumma, subject to the kares penalty. V'asur la'onein. And an onein is not allowed to eat carbon. Okay. Ad rabba truma lo mimatinan shekein machpaz. The Gemara says, okay, but I have unique halachas as it relates to truma. Number one, misa. Misa b'day shemaim. So, non-Kohen eating truma, subject to misa b'day shemaim. V'chomesh. If you eat karban, you have to make restitution. And if you eat, I'm sorry, let me say it better. If you eat truma in a state of shogeg, you have to add on a chomesh. V'ein lecha pidyon. Truma is unredeemable. Karban is redeemable. Again, not always, but it needs a mom, but there's a potential of redeeming karban. There is no redemption of truma. Vasul azarim. And prohibited to azar. Azar can't eat truma. Can azar eat karban? The answer is yes. Non-kohanim can eat karbanos. Right? Shlamim. The answer is yes. So the Gemara says fine. So, number of unique characteristics as it relates to truma, number of unique characteristics as it relates to kodesh. I know that I can burn one of them. Which one is it going to be? So the Gemara holds up the scorecard. What was the scorecard? So 6-4, right? So kodesh won by a score of 6-4. So the Gemara says hanach nefishin, scorecard. V'i b'ayseh makaris adifa. Or alternatively, you don't even have to hold up the scorecard. What could just simply point to is, oh, as it relates to kodesh, a tummy person eating kodesh, what is he subject to? Kares. A non-Kohen eating truma, what is he subject to? Misa b'day shamayim. So that in of itself already tells you that the karban is just on a different level, and it's on a higher platform. And so therefore, when I'm using the exclusion of lo achaltu mimenu b'tameh, so that means to say that not achila. Lo bi'arti mimenu b'tameh. Okay. So when it comes to bi'ur, I can't burn my sersheni, but I'm allowed to burn something else. So that something else, so we just compared kodesh and truma, that something else is going to be truma. Because kodesh has many more unique characteristics than chumras, so it's going to be truma. Okay, ad kan. And end of today's daf. I know today was a very technical daf regarding drushas and halachas, and very little discussion, okay? But it happens. Anyway, quick recap of today's daf. First part of today's daf, Ayin Beis Amud Beis. So we covered whether or not an RL can do hazah. The answer, Rabbi Lazar says, yes, an RL can do hazah. And there was a brisa that said an RL can't do hazah. Maybe that brisa is Rabbi Kiva. Gemara did not love that suggestion. Anyway, that was number one. Number two is on top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph as to whether or not an RL is allowed to eat Meister Sheni. So the Gemara... The basis of this discussion is that we know an aral can't eat truma. Meister Sheni does not have the same degree and level of kedusha as that of truma. Is an aral allowed to eat Meister Sheni? So the Gemara left us off with unclear, because we did have a Mishnah that we went through, Mishnayos and Chagiga that we went through, but Tana Vishayir. The Mishnah over there did not give an exhaustive list. As long as we quoted the Mishnah and Chagiga, the entirety of today's Amud Beis, Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, dealt with a couple of issues that the Mishnah touched on. The Meiser and Bikurim are usher for an Onain. Rabbi Shimon says that an Onain is allowed to eat Bikurim. Okay, what is that going to be a predicate of? So the Gemara says it's drushas. Meaning when the Torah describes Bikurim, the Torah calls it Trumas Yadecha. So it's mixed messages. Why? Because on one hand, it's in the same pasuk with Meiser Sheni. So I would have thought that Bikurim and Meiser Sheni should be equated. On the other hand, the Torah does call it Truma. So, mixed messages regarding Bikurim, whether or not an Onan is allowed to eat it, not allowed to eat it, and that mixed messages is reflected by a Machlokas Tanaim, whether or not an Onan is allowed to eat Bikurim. And whether or not it's Chayv and Bior, okay, same thing, meaning mixed messages over there as well. And finally, the last thing that we did is Bior, meaning that unlike Meiser Sheni, and unlike Kodesh, where once it becomes Tameh, so you have to dispose of it, but you cannot get any benefit while disposing of it when it comes to truma. So you're allowed to get benefit from it when you dispose of it. And so how do I know that Meister Sheni is out? Pasuk in the Torah. How do I know that Kodesh is out? Kavachomer. How do I know that truma is not out of this discussion? That you can burn truma and benefit from burning truma? Answer is the word mimenu. Okay, good. Adkan. Okay.